You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition, the happier happy hour. Getting all sexy up in here with this music. You know what's not sexy? When mom and dad start fighting, you know, having political fights. The headline at the the Wisconsin State Journal, Scott Bauer, actually, the Associated Press, gloves come off in GOP gubernatorial primary. Down there, catfighting. The two frontrunners in Wisconsin's Republican primary for governor went after one another Wednesday over gas prices, marking a more negative shift in the race less than 5 weeks before the August 9th primary. Good thing Nicholson got out while he still had his sugar daddy's money.
Right violence.
Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish attacked rival Tim Michaels by name for the first time in a television ad running statewide, where she bemoans high gas prices as she fills up her minivan. Clayfish has been criticizing Michaels in recent interviews and appearances, but the ad was the first of its kind from either of the top two candidates. A Marquette Law School poll 2 weeks ago showed Clayfish and Michaels at the front of the GOP race. Kevin Nicholson is the beauty school dropout. He dropped out on Tuesday, and another candidate, Dom's favorite, State Rep. Timothy Ramjam, trails with support in single digits. A little bit more Clayfish in her ad.
No, it's for the record, though. Ramjam is the guy running for Wisconsin governor who was full on stop the steal. Trump got screwed. We got robbed. I mean, he is Trump here.
All the way back. He would like to overturn elections all the way back to Bob Dole. It's my understanding. I try not to overconflate, but I think he sort of advocated for that.
I think he kind of did, yeah.
Clayfish in her ad first dings President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers, both Democrats, over high gas prices as she puts a gas pump into her minivan. But she then turns her attentions to Michael, saying that he pushed for years to raise our gas tax while getting rich from massive government contracts. Tim Michaels is out for himself.
Yeah, go at it, Republicans. I want to see some mega fighting, baby.
Michaels, who was endorsed by Donald Trump, responded with a statement calling the ad sad and completely false. Sad. He's already adopted the Trump vernacular, right?
Yes, he has.
Very no sad. Doubt.
Sad.
When politicians are shocked to find themselves losing, they go negative out of desperation, the Trump-endorsed Michaels said. So it is sad that the former lieutenant governor has decided to go negative by falling in line with politics as usual. Given Michaels the Trump voice, if I'm confusing you,
I think it's apt at this juncture.
Here's what Michaels concludes his statement with. I did not, and I do not, advocate for a higher gas price. He said his focus was on beating Evers, and fighting with Clayfish does not help with that. Now, Dom, the ad cites an article published last week by the conservative online website Wisconsin Right Now.
Oh, man. Really? Wow.
When Wisconsin Right ain't right enough for you, you need Wisconsin right now. Which detailed Michael's connection to groups that have long advocated for raising the gas tax both in Wisconsin, in other states, and federally. Michaels is the co-owner of the family's construction company, Michaels Corp., largest in Wisconsin. Right, Dom? So, you know what? They think if there's a higher federal gas tax, there might be more construction jobs for guys that actually do that line of work. So he's advocating for his industry, which isn't a shocker. You know, a little self-serving. That's every Republican,
but is it,
right?
Is it, though? I mean, you think it's such a straight line? I mean, when's the last time, like, projects weren't done that weren't being, you know, borrowed money on?
Well, Dominic, Michaels once served as the president of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, which was part of the coalition formed to improve roads and other state infrastructure, you know, by creating work for themselves. That group said that the gas tax was becoming necessary to fund Wisconsin's roads. The Wisconsin Transportation Transportation Builders Association also lobbied for an increase in the federal gas tax. They wanted a double dip, Dom. So anyways, that's most of it. The blow up over Clayfish's ad is a continuation of a spat between the two candidates that started last week when Clayfish attacked Michaels over the gas tax in a television interview, leading Michaels to respond by accusing Clayfish of being, wait for it, sad. And desperate.
Yes, there we go. Desperate. There we go. Oh, very excellent. Sad. This is most exciting. I'm glad that the Megas are beating up on each other, and I hope they beat each other to a pulp and Evers will slide right in.
Slide Evers in right to the top.
You know, give me some Whitesnake, Evan. 844-967-2789. Let's get back to the callers. Wisco Paul, you're up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Isn't Ram Jam the one that took the devil's ornament off the tree?
He is part of that conspiracy, Paul. I do hold him accountable. I don't know about de-treeing the devil ornaments off the original tree, but him and Dom's buddy Shea Sortwell were leading the Christmas COVID super spreader event in the Lock State Capitol that we also attended. We brought our own tree, and when we tried to sing, Ram Jam tried to get us arrested in the immediate sense, and when that was unsuccessful, we were cited through the mail, and apparently we're going to have a court date coming up somewhere right before the election, Paul.
I got to laugh at that. That's just unbelievable.
You know what's ironic about that? The fact that Dom and I and Fancy Brian were cited for entering a locked Wisconsin Capitol building during a pandemic, but the false Trump electors that entered the very same building on December 14th of 2020 to fraudulently claim that they were the Trump electors and they had, you know, had the lot cast in the Wisconsin Capitol.
To be their little spoke in the coup wheel, Paul?
Well, Paul, they apparently did not receive the same sort of locked building pandemic citations that Dom and I received. So, you know, we have fine counsel and we're subpoenaing everybody. We'll see how that little venture goes. We're working on the jackassery as we speak, Paul.
I guess it is. I mean, you guys should be welcome at the Capitol, but apparently, I don't know, they just can't handle the truth. And God help us if Clayfish or Michaels gets elected governor. They were fighting over the Trump endorsement to begin with, who is a convict or a criminal, I should say. And I always ask you guys this, or I have for the last, 4 or 5 years, when you think the Trump Republicans cannot get any lower, they go lower, and it's going to be interesting to see if Rojo is implicated in this false electors. And
you mean implicated ways, Paul. More, Paul? I mean, he was implicated. Yeah, he was under such pressure, he was stammering and pretended to talk on his cell phone to somebody to not answer the questions. Of course he's implicated.
Well, it's going to be also interesting. Lindsey Graham, you know, he was a bootlicker. It's a, you know, the whole thing. I don't know how.
But bootlicking's not criminal. What these men have been alleged to do might just be criminal. I mean, Lindsey Graham made phone calls to election officials in Georgia. He's from South Carolina, and he did so on behalf of Donald Trump to try and convince someone to find 11,780
votes.
Right? Well, if they got Trump on tape, they got Lindsey on tape.
Well, this whole thing is criminal. I mean, it's just, I don't know. You start to get numb to the whole thing, but.
Don't get numb, Paul. It's just getting good, man. And come, what is it, July 12th? I appreciate you listening, Paul, but on July 12th, we're going to start replaying the January 6th hearing. And Dom, this Friday, Pat Cipollone giving some closed-door testimony, transcribed testimony, and then maybe we'll get to hear just a little bit about it on the 12th or at subsequent January 6th hearings. I can't wait.
I look forward to Pat Cipollone. Yeah, I'm obviously he does have some legitimate executive privilege type issues. I'm not clear if
that's all been negotiated away. Well, they've solved all these problems.
I'm not convinced that that's the case. I mean, obviously he's coming in And I'm assuming they'll get some information. Is he going to corroborate, you know, what we've already heard, testimony, Cassidy Hutchison and others? I mean, that's one thing, but we've already heard it. We already know it to be true, or at least we believe it to be true. She was a very valid witness. Or is he going to have something more to offer?
Oh, you know he what I'm does saying? Have more to offer, even if he doesn't have to, let's say, break any attorney-client executive privilege or whatever it is Trump's going to claim. Former Deputy Attorney General Harry Littman went on CNN today, and here's a quote from Littman talking about Cipollone. He is a greatest hits package of crazy statements by Donald Trump. He's the one who says to Mark Meadows, you know, if you do this, you'll have blood on your effing hands. He's the one who says to Mark Meadows about Mike Pence, you've got to stop it. And Meadows says, you heard him. He thinks the rioters are right. He's the one who has to go to Cassidy Hutchison, the 25-year-old you referenced, Tom, and plead with her because Meadows won't speak to him. Please try to keep him from going to the Capitol. He's the one who says, if you go to the Capitol, it will be every effing crime imaginable. Now, they've negotiated it up, and probably what he wants to say is he's not piercing attorney-client privilege. But all these statements, I've said to you, Trump's nowhere around. So attorney-client has to be with the client for the purpose of getting legal advice. So he's got tons to say without that. As Lippman explained, Cipollone is in everything. He was there for all the conversations. Trump treated him like personal counsel, but he was there as White House counsel. And he better know how to differentiate those two jobs. Or he needs to get a effing criminal defense attorney.
Right, but obviously, even as White House counsel and even with the executive privilege and attorney client, I mean, there's a fraud exemption, right? I mean, Donald Trump is specifically advocating for committing crimes.
But I don't think anyone's implied yet that Cipollone was a co-conspirator in the same way that John Eastman or Rudy Giuliani might have been. Now, if Cipollone is alleged to have perpetrated or been part of some of these crimes, and that does not seem to be where the January 6th committee is taking this, but he certainly was a witness to many of these crimes. I mean, he was the guy trying to pull him back from the brink. Just let's get through the month. Please, God, don't let him commit any more crimes.
So, all right. So you think Cipollone, at least at this point, as it seems to be reported with the January 6th and the testimony, that he's going to be at least a neutral party and or a pure White House counsel, well, not involved in the conspiracy, not involved in this entire endeavor?
I would assume he was a Trumpster or he never would have gotten the appointment in the first place, right? So
right.
Much like Cassidy Hutchison,
a true
he started
believer.
as a Trumpster and a true believer, Pat Cipollone. Now, I don't know his legal resume. I'm just speculating here, you know, like they do on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. But here's what I would say. Cipollone was at the highest echelons, right?
Yes.
This guy wants a career beyond this week, this month. So Cipollone's really only got one option, truthful testimony. He's going to be under oath. I mean, there is at least the threat of lying to Congress. They put Michael Cohen in prison for 3 years for lying to Congress about something that Donald Trump's yet to ever pay a consequence for. But it's still a crime. You know what I mean? You can't come in and perjure yourself in testimony. And if they have other people's testimony that directly contradicts Cipollone, well, they're going to press him in real time on
right,
it. But
be
I think it's far more likely that Cipollone, you know, may try to plead a little around the edges. Executive privilege. But if Trump ain't in the room, I mean, he basically must tell all. He is compelled to testify. And it's going to be awfully hard to say, well, you know, executive privilege. Well, where was Trump? Well, he was in the residence upstairs. Sorry, you lose that argument. Or more likely, Trump's going to lose that argument.
Well, right? I guess my question ultimately is, will we find more information? Is Cipollone going to be simply verification of what we've already heard, what we already know?
Oh,
or is
much
he going
more.
To add to the conversation?
He's going to throw mini straws on the camel's back. We'll see. Come back. More we'll Devils. See. Your phone calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY.